Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato after the Thunder's 112-107 win at Houston. This may have been the Thunder's craziest comebacks this season.
I think it is definitely up there. I think this game had more going on, more storylines, more crazy numbers than like any game I could remember this year.
Yeah, no, there have been few times. I mean, we've seen a lot of wild stuff happen, but there have been few times when we were scrambling to try to figure out how to fit it all into just two stories. Because
good thing there's two of us.
Yeah, thank goodness. Because you had storylines from the Thunder and all of their injuries and how they were making up for that. And then you had storylines about Houston and Russell Westbrook and his triple-double and how poorly Harden was shooting. And it all combined into a large comeback for the Thunder overall, but also a 16-point fourth quarter comeback, which is just the third time that the Thunder's done that on the road, and the other times were from 18 and 20 down. So, pretty historic night overall.
Yeah, and it's this number sounds too high, but it's their fourth comeback of at least 17 points this season, which just tells you how crazy it's all been. But basically, as you well know, I very much struggled in writing this game story tonight because there was so much going on. But eventually, I boiled it down.
Thank goodness it was a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, exactly. To one guy and one play, and that was Lu Dort and the charge he took on James Harden in the fourth quarter. The charge was
Lu Dort, taker of charges.
Yeah,
over the last two nights,
unbelievable. Like it wasn't just the charge. I mean, that was a huge play. It was the Thunder was down by one. If the Rockets score in that possession, who knows what happens? Thunder come back and take the lead, and that changed everything. But really, it was the job that Lu Dort, who should not have been in that position tonight, did on James Harden the whole game. Harden was 9 of 29. He was 1 of 17 from 3. And our good friend Barry Trammell just looked this up. It was one of the worst offensive performances of all time, I guess, by volume. James Harden, so I'm pulling it up right here. In NBA history, only twice has a player taken at least 15 three-pointers and made one. James Harden versus Orlando in January of 19, and James Harden tonight versus the Thunder. He was 1 of 17 from 3.
Yeah. Not, I mean, he obviously was frustrated by the job that he did tonight because, as our friends in Houston, we're just calling everyone friends. Our buddies in Houston reported he stayed afterwards to take some shots, which we've seen Russell Westbrook do, notably last year. He stayed very long after one game to put up some shots after a poor shooting performance. But, I mean, like you said, Lu Dort is a rookie. This was his first ever start. He is a two-way player. And
undrafted.
Yeah. He signed with the Thunder as an undrafted free agent. He only played 1 year at Arizona State. And Stuart is growling about that. Hey, Stu, hush.
Some really intimidating background noise. I kind of like it. Like, it gives the podcast an edge.
Do you want to say into the mic?
Well,
no, that freaked him out. he also is upset about the things stacked up against Lu Dort in this game, and yet he came out playing really well. I mean, and that first quarter was a very impressive defensive quarter. The second James started getting to the James, we're on the first name basis. James Harden started getting to the rim a little more, which was certainly what he needed to do tonight with that 1 of 17 three-point performance. But overall, I mean, you saw those numbers. Very inefficient night for James Harden, and you had Lu Dort as his primary defender.
Yeah, I mean, had they both not gone to Arizona State, James Harden would probably be on like Basketball Reference right now looking up Lou Dort. Who is this guy? Because a lot of people around the NBA probably don't know, but Lou Dort is very quickly gaining a reputation of being a good defender, and it's very hard for rookies to be good defenders. But
and get calls.
Especially like getting a call, getting that charge call against a former MVP, the best scorer in the league. Yeah. Like it's kind of just
it's remarkable. The reason that Lou Dort was starting tonight was because Terrence Ferguson was out due to personal reasons. So we have Terrence out. Nerlens Noel was a late scratch with left ankle soreness. We weren't there to ask Billy Donovan about this, but he did have an ankle sprain two games. He's played two really great games since coming back. He was out for six games with a left ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a flare-up of the same injury, if something else happened, but
all Thunder players need to just like triple tape their left ankles.
Just their left ankles. Because we also had Abdul Nader out with a left ankle. And then Steven Adams, in the first 2 minutes of the game, got bulldozed over by Clint mm-hmm. Capella. And he first left to go to the tunnel and then came back because he had to take the free throws from the flagrant foul. Capella got a flagrant one for that play. And he missed both and then hobbled back into the tunnel to, and the only reason that they would try to do that is to guarantee that if he did want to come back and was able to come back, that he would be able to come back, because otherwise he's out for the game. Sure enough, he was out for the game anyways.
Yeah. And I mean, you would think that would be enough to doom the Thunder's chances, given that their best wing defender is out, their best interior defender, two best interior defenders are out in Steven and Nerlens Noel. And the Rockets did take advantage of that. They outscored the Thunder 64-44 in the paint, but it's even more impressive that, you know, James Harden was able to get into the lane some, but they forced him into taking 17 threes and he only made one, and that, like, the lack of rim protection could have been a more glaring problem had the defense along the perimeter and on the wing not been as good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the Rockets still controlled this game for the majority of it. Like, be no mistake there. But you had these heroic performances, first from Chris Paul, who went off for 27 points in the first half, which is a career high for a first half scoring for him. He scored 20 of those points in the second quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, when they made that, you know, the comeback from down 16, you had Dennis Schroeder and Danilo Gallinari both scoring in double digits. Gallo had 12 and Schroeder had 15.
Yeah. Had it not been so, Chris Paul, because this game had so much going on, it's easy to overlook what Chris Paul did. But had he not shot 9 of 12, 4 of 5 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line in the first half, like, this one could have been very, very ugly.
Yeah.
Even after one half, because no other, I mean, Gallinari had 10 points at halftime, Shea had 6. Dennis Schroeder had 6, Lou Dort had 8, and that was it. Like, no other Thunder player scored. No one else had more than 10 except for Chris Paul, who was just like,
he scored 11 straight points at one point.
It was wild. It was
to bring the Thunder was down. He scores 11 straight points. Suddenly they're leading. It's like, he was, I say that Houston controlled the game, but for that stretch in the second period, Chris Paul controlled the game.
Yeah, and I thought, to transition to another storyline tonight, what I was prepared to write was Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, the two untradeable contracts who were traded for each other, both starred tonight, and that was the case. But then Chris Paul slowed down.
Chris Paul only scored
one point in the second half.
It wasn't like he just stopped making them. He just kind of stopped taking them.
Yeah, and like, Schroeder wasn't really noticeable in the first half. Like, he wasn't Dennis Schroeder, and then he was in the fourth quarter. But yeah, that was a very fun, like, even though Harden struggled, like the offensive showcases in that first half between like Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook made for some good viewing.
Yeah, Russ was fantastic. He, up until this point, had had a triple-double against every team except for the Thunder, which makes sense because he played for the Thunder for 11 years, so kind of hard to get a triple-double against your own team.
That would be very rude.
So in the third... be very unfortunate. Like, what is he doing?
I don't think it'd be... It's not possible, but just in theory, it would be a mean thing to do. He, like, switches jerseys and, like, has a triple-double. Yeah. Anyway.
You could do the scoring, but, like... You can't rebound.
Just put it under the different column.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
What was I saying?
Triple-double, 146.
He's now had one against all 30 teams. LeBron James was the first player ever to do that. He did that like 2 months ago against the Thunder. Westbrook gets that tonight. And he was fantastic. Again, Barry has these amazing stats, but it's...
Barry, our columnist and resident statistician.
Yeah, he just emailed us all these things. So stay tuned for a blog digging into these more from him tomorrow. But he says it was one of the best games Russell Westbrook has ever played. Like... statistically. So he's had hundreds of triple doubles, and of all of those 146, right?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Tonight was 146.
Only one other time has he shot at least 60% from the field, and that was game 7 of the 2014 Memphis first round series. He was 27-10-16. He shot 10 of 16 then.
I thought that was a remarkable number because we all know, like, Russell is not the most efficient player, but he's put up huge numbers. And when you have 145 triple doubles, I would have guessed that, a handful of them he had shot at least 60% from the field. So
yeah.
For him to do that and for that to be so rare,
Grant, 60%, I mean, he was phenomenal tonight. He was 16 of 24, so that's 66.7%. He only took one three, missed it, but he did exactly what the game called for, which was get into the paint because the Thunder has no centers. Like, no offense to Mike Muscala, but he's just a different type of center, right? He's there to stretch the floor. And you had Deonte Burton filling in too, who is 6'4". Like, the Thunder was very...
6'4", just to repeat that.
6'4". Thunder very shorthanded in the front court.
Very short.
Very shorthanded in the front court. And Russell Westbrook saw that, took advantage of it. And, you know, it wasn't even... Like, he had 10 rebounds already at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And... very soon after got his 10th assist. Nice little alley-oop. It was fun.
Yeah, Russ was just phenomenal. The 1-3 he took, I mean, I think that's a good number that Rockets fans surely want to see. Not having a big volume from there. But yeah, like, I mean, I mentioned this earlier, 64 to 44 in the paint, that's where it looked like they would play not so Rockets-esque basketball and just like being bullies in the paint because the Thunder were so undersized with Steven out early, with Nerlens out, and guys like Deonte Burton and even like Darius Bazley for a possession playing center. And, you know, the Rockets, it turns out, I mean, their guards got there, but Clint Capela, he got in a lot of foul trouble.
Yeah.
And they just don't have depth down low. So the Thunder kind of lucked out in that this wasn't like the Toronto game a couple nights ago when like Marc Gasol and like Serge Ibaka could have punished them.
Yeah, they would have just been flattened because they would on average be like 3 feet shorter than the other team.
That could have been brutal. So
if you're going to miss your two centers, this was the game to do it. But it kind of replayed the game the Russell Westbrook return game that we saw, obviously closer, but in the way that Russell Westbrook played really well, played efficiently, and James Harden kind of was a non-factor. And then tonight, the Rockets shot very poorly from three, especially for them. They shot 9 of 45.
45 threes.
They took 45 and only made 9. And in the game notes, they included the stat that before tonight, Houston had an NBA record of hitting at least 10 three-pointers in 97 straight games.
That's nuts. Like, 90... I mean, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that number, so to hold them to 9, especially when they take 45, quite impressive. And so Houston is obviously known for, like, trying to be the most efficient team in basketball. You get your shots at the rim, you get three-point shots, and you get free throws. Well, they did quite well at the rim, but from 3, 9 of 45. From the free throw line, 12 of 17. The Thunder took 26 free throws as opposed to the Rockets 17, and Harden took 13 of those 17. And, you know, 13 is a big number for most people. It's not for James Harden, who is so great at drawing fouls. So, like, that's another thing that they defended him well. They didn't let him, you know, make 18 free throws tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. All around.
Defend without fouling. It's a good recipe.
It is. And something that's really tough for young players, I mentioned the rookies not getting calls very often, but just in general, rookies are just going to foul more because they don't know guys' tendencies. And James Harden's a guy who knows how to draw fouls and is really good at it. And so if you're a guy who hasn't been in the league, doesn't know how much of an emphasis you need to put on keeping your hands back, which Chris Paul will teach you real quick. He had at least 2 rip moves tonight. Then it's going to be tough for you. And you're going to put guys who make free throws on the line a lot and then get yourself in foul trouble. And, you know, Lu Dort ends the night with 5 fouls, but it wasn't like it was inhibiting him at all early in the game.
I think it was such a statement game, really, for Lu Dort. Like, I joke about it almost every podcast when we talk about Lu Dort, is that we talk about him a ton. Tonight he earned it. He played 32 minutes, and I thought, you know, again, we're not traveling anymore, so we're not able to ask Billy this question, but I would want to ask Billy why he started Lou tonight instead of Hamidou Diallo, yeah. Because when Terrence Ferguson has been out, Hamidou Diallo has drawn those starts. And tonight, just like the last game, but tonight it was different. Lu Dort started instead of Hamidou Diallo, and I think that has to be Billy thinking who can best defend James Harden.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd speculate that that's exactly, that matchup is exactly what the decision revolved around. And Lu Dort has his, you know, he's a rookie. He's 20 years old. He has his deficiencies. He takes too many threes.
The offense is rough.
It's not the volume. It's that he is so good at getting to the rim that when he wastes those shots on contested threes, like if it's an open three, sure, he made one. Go ahead and take open threes. But if you're going to take don't take contested threes when you could either pass or drive or get something else going offensively. But that's kind of every young player's biggest offensive hurdle, right? Is trying to figure out that balance and that decision making, because it's all happening so fast. We've heard a million times that the game speeds up when you're young and when you're, you know, playing some of these guys and some of these teams for the first time. So that'll get better for him, and he's just tearing it up in the G League offensively as well. So he's been a really great add for the Thunder, and a guy who, if he can make his way into the rotation in the next few years, huge, because they didn't use a draft pick on him. He's contract wise, he's a two-way player right now. He's not going to take up a bunch of your spending. And so if he can make his way into the rotation and they can build him into a regular rotation player in the NBA, you know, at minimum, that's a huge win for the Thunder.
Yeah, the Thunder's become quite good at taking guys who have the tools to play good defense on the wing, like Andre Robertson, Terrence Ferguson, and now Lu Dort. Lu's built differently than those guys. Like, he is solid, and he's pretty quick. And just like those other two guys, the offense isn't always there, but that's not the focus at this point. And I also think, like, the three-point shooting is a little bit of a double-edged sword. It's like, he probably thinks he's a better three-point shooter than his numbers are now. So he's like, okay, I'm going to make a few. But then he misses some, and it just, like, it just keeps compounding the problem. But he's best suited on offense when he's cutting, when he's moving the ball.
He's such a force, too. He, like, and he's
yeah,
quick.
No one wants to get in front of him.
Yeah, he had a few plays where he was finishing through contact that would knock most guys off their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's in the air, but, you know, off balance.
Yeah, I mean, there's like similarities, I think, between him and Hami in that sense, that their offensive games are sort of in a similar place, but
he's just bigger.
Yeah, he's bigger. And, you know, it's clear that tonight was weird because there's injuries, but those are guys who are probably going to be battling for some of the same minutes and it's going to be on that defensive end. So
eventually Lu Dort has to get, if he can make a case for the Thunder needing him either as a rotation player or as like a really consistent backup, then he can play himself into a full-time NBA contract.
He played 32 minutes tonight. Hami played 13.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's because of how well he played on defense. So he, on a two-way, you can only have 45 days, and that information isn't readily available for us because it's not just games, it's also practices. And they've changed over the years because it used to be also travel days and stuff, and they realized that was way too strict. But we don't have the exact number of days, but you could potentially see a situation like with Deontay Burton, whereas he's approaching that 45-day number. If he does, you know, if Lu does continue to play with the Thunder, where they'd offer him a full-time contract.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He's trending in the right direction, and I don't just the unlikely hero tonight. The Thunder, by the way, looking at the latest NBA standings, the Rockets have lost four straight. Thunder back-to-back wins. There's only two games separating these two teams in the standings.
That's wild.
Yeah, the Rockets
are in... not what the Rockets were hoping for when they made that trade.
The Rockets are in sixth and added the draft picks. The Rockets are in sixth place at 26-16. The Thunder 25-19, two games back in seventh place. So, I mean, you look at it, Dallas is in fifth. I'm not saying the Thunder are going to catch Dallas, but they're just three games back of that five seed now. So, the Rockets are trending. I mean, it might just be a midseason slump, but James Harden is clearly in a bit of a funk right now that he needs to work out of.
And when he's not shooting well, I mean, when you have such a big part of your offense struggling, it's obviously going to affect your winning percentage.
Yeah. Like, Lu Dort played well, but not well enough for, like, James Harden to be 9 of 20.
No. Some of it was Lu. Mm-hmm. A lot of it with James.
Yeah.
Not to take away anything from what Lu did, but James Harden makes crazy contested shots. Even the best defenders are not going to... On a night when he's on, the best defenders can't make him shoot like he did tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... That's it. That's it for the Rockets series this
year.
I didn't mean for this podcast, but it's kind of, these Rockets games have been so dang entertaining, mostly because of Westbrook. But tonight was also Westbrook. But
right, the first and last were really close. The Westbrook return obviously had extra oomph because of that, and was the most electric atmosphere we've seen, not even just this season, in a long time at the peak. So good job to you guys who came out and really, really energized the place. It was incredible. And yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's how I end podcasts.
Mic drop.
Very, very smooth.
Well, the Thunder head to Orlando next on this short little road trip. And yeah, that's it.
That's it. I mean, share it. I don't have the outro. Is that what we call it these days? I don't have it down yet, like you do.
Do you want to try it?
No.
I think today's the day.
Share it with your. I think I've already messed it up.
Yeah, you start with you start with thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the latest edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, enemies, close friends, neighbors, dogs, pets, fish. And yeah.
The dogs might get a little freaked out in this one if Stuart's growling was picked up.
Are they going to be able to pick that up? Even if the humans can't, like the dogs will probably hear it on the podcast.
Absolutely. So maybe wait till the next one to
caution
share it with
if
you.
You're listening with the dog around. Yeah. Well, it's too late now. Maybe the warning was too late.
That's true. we should put one at the beginning. Or, I mean, maybe they'll understand, like, hey, this is just a podcast. It's not real life. I shouldn't be worried. But, like, this is great representation for dogs.
It is. I mean, dogs belong on podcasts, and Stuart contributed tonight.
Yeah, yeah. He's not quite to the place that Lenny... Mina Kimes' dog is at. Stuart has not had nearly that much exposure. He's not in a commercial.
He's just a rookie.
He's just a rookie. He's just like Lou Dort.
He's young
here.
Lou Dort.
Stu Dort.
Playing some defense. Stu Dort. Holy cow, that was good.
Oh, all right. Man. Share it with your other Dorts out there.
Yeah.
And we will see you on
Wednesday.
Against
Orlando.
That's it.
That's it.